You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here. It's hour two. We'll talk to the great columnist, the LA Times. Bill Plaschke will join us. We'll talk about Kobe Bryant's Hall of Fame induction speech delivered by his wife, who delivered it with such grace and poise and class. Reggie Miller, Hall of Famer, will join us. We'll recap some of the speeches there. And Rudy Tomjanovich, who got into the Hall of Fame, former great player and, of course, coach of the Rockets when they won back-to-back titles, he said the following that kind of created a different kind of conversation today than we expected.
I want to speak up for Robert Horry to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. He is truly a legendary player. He made so many clutch shots. He's got seven rings to prove it. This is where he belongs.
All right. Well, we'll talk to Reggie about that coming up. The NBA Hall of Fame induction on Saturday was a bittersweet event, though, because Vanessa Bryant's moving speech about Kobe was a reminder of what made him so special. And she told, quite a few stories. One, that he was hurting, but told her he wanted to play for the fans who stayed up to watch him play. Load management was not part of his vocabulary. He was old school. And Vanessa's speech was a reminder of what made him so special. And it wasn't just physical talent. He certainly had that. It was just the competitiveness. Also, basketball IQ, like the brilliance of understanding the game, understanding what defenses were going to try to do. We saw that in the man standing next to Vanessa. We saw it at a high level, Michael Jordan. The intangibles. That's what separates all-stars from all-time greats. And a lot of memories came back this weekend. It's sad we didn't get to hear Kobe speak, because he probably would have taken a page out of Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech, maybe taken a couple of shots at Kevin Garnett or Tim Duncan in there, but he would have delivered in a big moment like he always did as a player. But credit to Vanessa for sharing that special Bryant family magic with all of us on Saturday night. Here is Vanessa talking about Kobe being on a different level.
Kobe was on a different level. He never took shortcuts when it came to basketball. He gave this game his all. Kobe played through injury after injury. To name a few, he had IVs administered during halftimes to play through food poisoning and the flu. He played with a broken nose. He had a broken finger and had it snapped back in place just enough to finish the game. He also taught himself how to use his left hand to play the rest of the season while his finger healed. He even swished two free throws with a torn Achilles and walked off the court on his own.
Yeah, there were moments where he was not coming out of a game and he was going to stay in a game even if it meant he was going to have to shoot left-handed. But when you look back, when he tore his Achilles, we didn't know it was torn, but he was going to stay in the game. It was a wonderful weekend. It really was. And, you know, I met Tim when he first got to San Antonio. And I was there when they made him carry the bags. He was a rookie, and the veterans made him carry bags. And I went to dinner with him. And I realized he was really funny, really interesting, had all of these tattoos. He loved collecting knives. Like, you just never, with Tim Duncan, you go, yeah, a great player, but we don't know much about him. I found that he had a great sense of humor, and he was so driven at one point. He wanted to find out when ESPN did the 50 greatest athletes of all time, and he kept badgering me. Because I was hosting the show. And he goes, you got to tell me. Like, is Jordan one? Is Jordan number one? I said, I can't tell you. And at the time, I didn't know. And I said, win the title, and I'll tell you. He won the title. Comes in after they won the title. First thing he says, is Jordan number one? And I said, yes. And he goes, okay, thank you. And it was just, he just was a fun person to be around. But he never wanted to share any of that. We tried to get him on the show a variety of times. He just didn't want it. He didn't care about it. He never cared about it. And even now, I think if he probably campaigned a little bit more when he was playing, he might be a top five player of all time. Maybe even higher. He just didn't care. His competitiveness was never on display. It was there. He just didn't show it like Kevin Garnett. He didn't show it like Kobe. But it was there. And what a prideful person. But his speech was the fact that he didn't write it down. Everybody else had speeches on teleprompters. Tim just went up there and talked. I'm surprised he got dressed up. Like, Tim is just a bigger version of Barry Sanders, where you just go, they're different. They're just different. You know, a taller version of John Stockton. They just played. They didn't ask for anything, but they gave you everything. And there was something poignant about how the people who mean so much to him. Popovich went to visit him in the Virgin Islands. And Tim thought that that was normal. And it wasn't. Popovich wanted to know Tim, wanted to know his family, really wanted to know who he was, what he was all about. And they developed that great relationship. So that was great. That was great to hear. It's fun hearing the stories. It's great seeing those Hall of Famers be able to come back. But a wonderful weekend. Yeah, Seton.
I like that Tim Duncan quotes, if you added both of my parents together, there would still be zero basketball knowledge. No, nothing.
He was a swimmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, at Wake Forest, it's like, okay, well, that guy at Wake Forest seems like he's pretty good, but he was at Wake Forest. If he was in Kentucky, you'd go, oh, my God, that guy's he's the best player I've seen. It was like there was something, well, he's at Wake Forest. But Tim Duncan had that competitive drive, but it was always like it was always hidden. But you can make a case. He deserves to be recognized as one of the two or three greatest players of all time. Consistency, winning titles, offense, defense. He did everything you wanted. He just did it quietly in a town that suited his personality. Had he played on a bigger stage, had he played in New York, had he played in L.A., we would remember Tim Duncan differently. I truly believe that. If he's winning titles, there would be a statue at Staples. If he was winning a titles in New York, there'd be a statue. He's in San Antonio. Tim couldn't care less about how he's honored or have a statue there. Yeah, Paul.
It's also so weird how he ended up in San Antonio. The 95-96 Spurs with David Robinson and Popovich, before Tim Duncan got there, were 59-23. They're first in the Midwestern Division. They're great. Back injury to Tim Duncan, they finished sixth in the next season. They were 20-62. They get deep in the playoff lottery. They get Tim Duncan. First year with Tim Duncan, they're right back on top, winning 56 games.
Well, I think that it might have been encouraged for David Robinson to not play those final games of the regular season when he came back with his back injury.
Yep.
And then they win the lottery. That's when Rick Pitino thought, hey, I'm coaching the Celtics and we're getting Tim Duncan and I am set for the next decade or so. And it didn't happen, obviously. Yes, McLovin?
I wonder, though, with his style of play, I mean, it was boring. Let's face it. His greatest moments were 12-foot bank shots. He just was not a highlight player.
You're right.
So with how that, but if he was in L.A., would the L.A.-ness have overwhelmed that and he'd be a bigger name? I'm not sure because he was so low-keyed.
But he couldn't have been anybody but himself. I don't think where he went. I don't think, oh, San Antonio made him that. That's who he is. If you're around him, he is chill. He is mellow. He steps on the floor. Avery Johnson and Vinny Del Negro would tell me, don't let Tim fool you. Like, he has a temper. He's competitive. And he's got five titles. He was an all-star, what, 15 times, I'm guessing? Offensively, what, first, second, third team, all defense, how many times? First, second team, third team, regular NBA, you know, regular season, like all-star. It's just he wasn't exciting. And I had a conversation with his former teammate a couple of weeks ago, Matt Bonner. And he said, look, Tim's one of the five greatest players of all time. Now, you know, he's obviously territorial here. And you start to look at it, and you could make a case that Tim Duncan is one of the top five players of all time. It just, there's no moment where you go, wow, did you see what Duncan did? It's one of those where you look at the box score afterwards and you go, golly, like he had 25, 15, you know, five blocks, four assists. I know he played with great players. Nobody knew Tony Parker was a great player. Nobody knew Manu was a great player. We knew David Robinson was. We didn't know how good Greg Popovich was as a coach. It just kind of came together. But it helps when your star player falls in line with what the coach wants everybody to do. And he would yell at Tim. Yes, McLovin.
I have, you know, the all-time ESPN list. That was a big deal 2 years ago. Tim is 8 on there, right ahead of Larry Bird and right. I'm sorry, Larry Bird's 7 and Kobe's 9. So he's sandwiched at 8, which is not far off the top 5.
But he's got 5 titles. He has 3 MVPs in the finals. He's got 2 MVPs during the regular season. 15-time All-Star. 10-time first team. 8 times first team all defense. 7 times second team all defense. So 15 years, he was first or second all defense. He was rookie of the year. I mean, that's a decorated resume there.
But who could you possibly knock out of the top 5? These are like Russell, Chamberlain, Magic, Bird, Jordan kind of names.
Well, you have Russell and Chamberlain, and that's a different era. Because, you know, I get into this argument, and I hate doing it. Bill Russell's the most decorated. Does that make him, the you know, one of the top 5 players? You know, Wilt won a title. Got a ton of scoring. You almost have to take, you almost have to start this in the 70s or maybe the 80s. Just to be fair to those players. Because Oscar's in there as well. It was just a different game. But I think that's when you talk, you know, about generational. Is Tim Duncan there with Michael Jordan? And the answer is yes, he is. I mean, his resume is every bit. He won 5 titles, you know, 3 times the MVP in the finals. Where do you find fault? Just because he didn't give you a highlight. That's really it. If Tim Duncan had a couple of Vince Carter highlights, Tracy McGrady highlights, took down a backboard one time. Like Garnett was in your face. He was there. Like you knew Garnett was on the floor. Tim, what you could tune in and go, who's the best player on the floor? And it might take you a little while before you realize that it was Tim Duncan. Because Ginobili was far more exciting. Parker was far more exciting. The Admiral was far more exciting. But Tim played in accordance to his personality. There was fire, but it was never on the surface. Yeah, Paul.
This is a very weird stat. Stay with me on this. Tim Duncan is the 15th leading scorer in NBA history. He's the 6th leading rebounder in NBA history. He's the 5th all-time in block shots. He never led the league in any category ever for a season. Yeah. He was never the leading scorer in the league. He was never the leading block guy. He was never the leading rebound guy. In his entire career, he never led the league in any of those categories. But he's one of the few people who's top 15 in all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, McLovin.
Would you buy this at... You know who the antithesis of him is? Shaq, who did everything with such bravado, and he was in Superman movies, and he got all the attention. Regardless of how you compare them as players, just like sort of persona-wise, Shaq was just such a big persona.
Yeah. Well, just his presence when you saw him on the floor, and then the style that he played, just the physicality, dunking. He was very expressive. You know, for a guy named Duncan... How many dunks did Tim have in his career? Because he just, like, I just don't remember him, you know, doing some violent dunk on somebody, posterizing somebody. His name should be Tim, you know, layup, or, you know, Tim Bankshot, not Tim Duncan. If you could choose, you start your team with Kobe, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett. And I'm going to give you these guys for 15 years. It's hard not to take Tim Duncan. It is. I mean, I would say Kobe. Yeah, see.
Kobe is the next best thing to Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Got to start with Kobe.
You don't have to. I mean, okay.
Just
I'm getting
my opinion. Like
okay, I'm sorry. See, I didn't mean to yell at you. My bad. Haircut. Yeah. You get your hair cut and you look like you're about 13.
Just trying to give my opinion like I'm supposed
I know.
To.
Kobe will give you excitement every night, sell some tickets. Tim would not. Tim will make you money when you get to the postseason. But then Kobe won. Kobe won titles, 5 titles. Yes, McLovin.
What year are we talking about? Like when they both came in the league or now? Because I don't know. They're not 2021 players. Kobe probably could have been, but now centers are a little less valuable.
Yes. If you're talking about today's NBA, then you're probably looking, say, anybody else on that list. Although Kobe could have become, you know, a dangerous three-point shooter.
Maybe Duncan becomes a Joker type who moves outside a little more.
Yeah, I could see that. KG, I mean, KG had a little bit of range. I just don't, he's not Kevin Garnett or Kevin Durant. Yeah, Paul.
I'm going with Kobe on this list, not shockingly, but, you know, Garnett had a run where in the middle of his career, between like 24 and 30, he's averaging like 24, 14, 5, and 2.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 5 assists, 13 and a half rebounds, 24 points. He had everything.
But he was doing that for a bad team.
Yeah.
They're
pumped up numbers.
They are.
But, man, he was doing it.
Tim was doing it in big games. Like, all of those games with the Spurs, they were important games. Yeah, McLovin.
If we're getting down, I could save it for after the break, but I just found a list of the 3 biggest Hall of Fame snubs from post-2000. Weber was number 1 on this list. It was from last week.
Okay.
And he got in.
Okay.
I'm curious if you can name the 3 guys. They're guys right in our wheelhouse.
Can you give us some hints here?
One of them was on that Detroit team that we talked about with Ben Wallace, and I did not realize that this guy was not.
Rip Hamilton?
Not Rip Hamilton. Another fellow big man on that team. With the same
name. Rashid?
Yeah, Rashid, because he went to 3 finals, had 8 conference finals, 4 All-Stars. He's better than Ben Wallace.
Yes. Yeah.
Because remember he was on that Blazers team that went toe-to-toe?
But Ben won Defensive Player of the Year, and that resonates here. Ben was not an all-around polished player at all. But, hey, he's the Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, Rashid, if that Portland, remember that great Portland team? If they had just gotten over the hump, then he'd be a Hall of Famer.
Rashid was a great player. It was just, Rashid's toughest opponent was Rashid. And it's like, hey, Rashid, who's guarding you? Me. My personality. Ooh, I'm going to take your personality. Probably a favorite here. Yeah, McLovin.
The other two, real quick, because you guys love these guys. Sean Marion with the Suns and Tim Hardaway, who I actually would have thought might be a Hall of Famer. I didn't know he wasn't. The older Tim Hardaway.
Yeah. I loved Hardaway. Fascinated by Tim. But I'd have to look at his numbers. You know, I don't think Sean Marion ever won a title. And he could be a product of the system as well. But how a guy could get his shot off, and he shot it like almost, you know, from his belt buckle. It was quick, though. Yeah, Paul.
Tim Hardaway's career in Golden State started great. 24, 25, 26 years old. He was an all-star. Yeah. He was averaging like 23 and 10. And then he had a knee injury at age 27, took him out of the league, and he kind of cooled off. He became more like a 17 and 8 guy for the rest of his career. And he wasn't hot again because he bounced around the league. He had some good days in Miami.
He had that crossover, though. That was, and he had this ability to bump you with his off arm, but he would cross over, bump you, create separation. And he didn't have a great shot, like the rotation on it, but that was the first crossover, I think. That was before Iverson.
Right, he's an innovator. That's got to help.
Yeah, contributions to the game. All right, 21 after the hour, Bill Plaschke will join us. We'll talk about the Lakers going into this playoff game with Steph Curry. Albert Pujols is signing with the Dodgers. We'll get the temperature of L.A. with Bill coming up. 21 after the hour, back after this. It's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn, which is amazing. In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. And you can learn more. Discover.com/yes. That's Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations do apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Last name is Duncan. How many dunks did he have in his career? He had 1,171 dunks.
Stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Great columnist for the LA Times, star of Around the Horn, Bill Plaschke, joining us on the program. Bill, thanks for joining us. Level of concern over repeating the Lakers or the Dodgers right now?
More people are freaking out about the Lakers, really freaking out. What's LeBron James doing in the game last night? So late in the blowout, which it didn't matter, and he turned his ankle again. Yeah, people think the Dodgers, and I agree, the Dodgers, they've got a lot of season left. They got great pitching. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be fine. They may not be the best team in baseball history, as I predicted before the season. Not one of my finer moments, but they're going to be fine. The Lakers, people are freaking out because LeBron's, you know, they don't know how LeBron's ankle is. AD's fragile. If they win this thing, it'll be LeBron's greatest achievement ever, because no team's ever come from a 7 seed to win it. No team's ever had to win 17 games to win it. And they got to do it on LeBron's back, and he's been hurt most of the year, and he keeps getting hurt. And AD's always – you notice when AD hits the floor, he's always wincing. He's always grimacing. He's always groaning. So he's got all that going for him. So, yeah, there's quite a bit of concern about the Lakers. I think people think they'll beat Golden State, or at least they'll get in this 7 or 8 seed, and they'll probably win the first round. But I don't think people think they can beat the Clippers. And I think that's what people are really concerned about out here.
Do you think the Clippers tried to avoid the Lakers strategically?
Absolutely. So did the Nuggets. They were both fighting each other, trying to invest all their players. Absolutely, they're trying to avoid the Lakers. They're trying to wait to get them to the last round of the conference finals. But that may not work. By then, the Lakers could be in rhythm, and LeBron could have his confidence, and they could be rolling by then. I think you want to get the Lakers early.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I was wondering about with LeBron and load management. Like, do you think that there's any chance that maybe he, you know, stayed out even longer just as precautionary measures so he'd be ready?
Absolutely. I wrote before the season he should take at least one or two month vacation. He was mad from the very start. Remember this, Dan. He was upset at the 71-game break that's all they had. He wanted to start the season after January. So he was upset about that already. Yes, I think absolutely he held out. And that's why I think the sky's not falling. I think LeBron and AD, I think they're both going to be fine. I think Lakers are going to win another championship. But I think one of the reasons is they're going to wake up a month from now. Everybody's going to realize how rested LeBron is and how rested AD is. And I think he nursed that ankle, and I think he clearly wanted the vacation. And smart for him. The NBA messed up schedule this year, Dan. The NBA was so messed up. You all talked about it on the show ad nauseum. All the injuries, all the forced games, the rush games, the compressed schedule. It made for a terrible, terrible regular season. And LeBron was just getting, was just paying him back. He was just getting his.
They do well against Steph Curry, but there's always that if Steph somehow goes crazy here.
Steph can't score 100 points. I mean, can he?
Well, but let's say he gets 40-something. Like, yeah, when does it become dangerous here?
Oh, he's got to get – I just don't think it ever becomes dangerous. I just don't think that's – I just don't think the Warriors, they're great to get this far. They're a worthy opponent, but no, Steph's their whole team. And I don't think the Lakers think that either. I think their sights are set on Phoenix right now. I think probably, I think they think they can beat Golden State. I would agree with them on that. I don't think this is, but it'll be the most watched game. Remember the last time they played, it was like 30 million people watched it. There'll be it's just going to be the most watched playoff game this early ever in history, but I just don't think it'll be much of a contest.
But do you think he truly believes Steph Curry is the MVP? Because his buddy Chris Paul has been equally valuable for the Phoenix Suns, but LeBron campaigning late for Steph Curry?
No, LeBron thinks he should be the MVP. he always does think he's just saying that. He was just saying that to jack up the game and get, you know, and maybe get in Steph's head a little bit. That's what he was saying. Yeah, no, I don't think he believes. I think he would vote for Chris Paul. He'd probably vote for Joel Embiid before he'd vote for Jokic. He'd vote for Jokic probably. He'd vote for himself. He doesn't think, yeah, LeBron doesn't think anybody should be MVP ever but him any year ever, period.
It's Bill Plaschke of the LA Times, contributor to Around the Horn. What was your
Dan, when I started this show, I was a star. Now I'm just a contributor. I'll be lucky to be a freelancer by the time the show ends.
You said star, I said contributor, so I covered both. Woody Page just texted me and said he's a contributor, you're not a star. So
he's right. He's actually correct about that. That is the accurate.
Your takeaway from the Hall of Fame weekend was what?
It sucked because Kobe wasn't there. I don't care what. We wrote a million stories before the ceremonies. We talked about Kobe and wrote the whole history of his life. It was about Kobe, and he wasn't there. I mean, it really stunk to me. It was really – obviously, Tim Duncan's speech was incredible. I thought that was really, really, really incredible. Him talking about Pop was really incredible. Rudy T's speech was off the hook, off the butt. I miss Kobe, and Kobe should have been there to exchange jabs with the guys. He should have been there to thank – you know, Vanessa didn't thank any Laker, and he did not mention any Laker in her speech because – she didn't know what Kobe would have said. She wasn't going to speak for her late husband. So a lot of Lakers went unrecognized. I think a lot of the emotion was drained out of the thing. I just thought I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to be emotional about it. I think it's so cool that Kobe's in, and I'm glad he's in, but it really sucked that he wasn't there. It really stunk. It was really, I thought the whole thing was just a real hard, it was real painful. It was supposed to be celebrating his greatness, and I thought we just remember the absence of his greatness, and it was really hard. I thought it was hard.
Rudy Tomjanovich, though, grabbed some headlines when he said Robert Horry belongs in the Hall of Fame.
He does. Oh, he does. He absolutely does. I was here for a lot of that.
Yeah.
Big Shot Bob, he was the best player I've ever seen under pressure in the finals. In how many rings does he have? I mean,
7.
No, I think if you're going to put different people like that in the Hall of Fame, I think absolutely he belongs in the Hall of Fame. For what? If we're going to celebrate championships, if we're going to celebrate pressure shots and pressure players. And I loved it because he told me once, the reason he was so good in April and May instead of early in the season is that the Kings, the LA Kings, who shared the Staples Center with him, were done playing, so they got the ice out from under the floor, so the floor was warm. So his feet weren't cold in April and May, as long as the Kings kept losing. That's a true story. I think he should be. And he's a great guy, too. So put great guys in the Hall of Fame. Rudy T's in the Hall of Fame. Put Horry in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, but is Derek Fisher a Hall of Famer?
Well, he made a couple. He didn't – no, I don't think he had the impact that Horry had.
But he got 5 titles. He's got more career points. He's played in more playoff games than anybody in NBA history.
Yeah, but who's made more bigger shots than Horry for different teams? Also, Fisher did it for the same team. How many different teams did Horry win the championships with?
But if if I put Horry in, then all of a sudden am I putting Julian Edelman into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Well, maybe so. I just think we talk about championships so much, and then we don't do anything to celebrate them. And these guys, certain guys, are like that. But I know I'm in a minority. I'm sure most people think Rob shouldn't be in there. But I think I was there and I saw it. I saw his big shots. All right, he had the shot to beat Sacramento in Game 4 of the conference finals. You know, he had that great 3-pointer. After that game, Glenn Frey, the Eagles, walked past me in the press row, pounded his fist on the press table, looked at me and said, "The Eagles never wrote a song this good," and kept walking. That was Big Shot Bob. That was Robert Horry.
Explain the logic of the Dodgers signing Albert Pujols.
They're really desperate. They're really, really desperate for hitting against left-handed pitching. They really need someone. They have 13 players on the injured list. They figure he can win that. If he can win them one or two games with a late inning home run, maybe start a few games when they need him at first base, just fill in. They think the clubhouse is veteran enough to absorb him. And if he complains or if he gets disgruntled, this is again, I've heard this analogy made many times, but it's so true. David Freese worked in there. Chase Utley worked in there. They have a history of getting veterans who come in there and are tutors and mentors and go into the system. They're banking on him suddenly saying, I can win a ring. I'll be quiet. I don't need to play. And I think it's a no lose for them. If they don't do any good, they just cut him. They don't care. It doesn't cost them hardly anything.
Yeah, but my concern is he was not happy with not getting playing time with the Angels. Now he's going to be happy with not getting playing time with the Dodgers?
Well, he's on a press call today. I'm going to ask him that direct question, or somebody will ask him that question. We'll find out. That's a concern, Dan. That's a concern. But I think, again, you've seen players like this, veterans who have a chance to win a ring. The Dodgers still have the best run differential in the National League. They're still the best team in the league. I think they learn to subjugate their egos and realize it's about big. It's about more than them. Where the Angels had no shot. They have no shot. Dodgers have a real shot. Maybe he'll be more of a team player there. We'll see. But that's a definite. That's got to be one of the first questions he's asked today in the press conference.
I'll leave you with this. If you could start your team with one, Kobe, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett.
Oh, I'm taking Kobe. I'm taking Kobe because I want to end. I want to start my team with a guy who can end the game, who will end the game, who will end the moment, who will own the moment. And Tim Duncan was great, and Garnett was great, but Kobe was a man on that. I would start with. How about you?
If it was today's NBA, then I'm going to take Kobe. But if it's back in the 80s, 90s, then I probably strongly consider Duncan. I think Duncan's underrated. He won five titles. He was MVP in the finals three times. He won two league MVPs. He was first or second, all NBA defense, 15 years, All-Star 15. Like he did everything you would ask a great player to do without any fanfare and really no signature moment. He was kind of perfect for San Antonio. I wonder though, Bill, if he played in L.A. or New York or Boston, would we be looking at Tim Duncan differently if he had this resume?
That's a great question because, a guy like Clayton Kershaw is very quiet like Duncan and just does his job. And he's revered out here. But I want – the Kobe brings a Mamba mentality. I know that's such a cliche and everybody laughs when I say it.
Yeah.
But I want my club to have the Mamba mentality. That's why I want Kobe.
Yeah. I don't think there's a wrong answer in there.
I think Kevin Garnett would be a wrong answer.
Well, he had a run there where he put up, like 25, 15, five block shots or four block shots. Like he put up some pretty big numbers.
Yeah, he did. But he didn't have the consistency and the length of career that these other guys did. He wasn't as good as them. He just wasn't as good.
Great to talk to you. He's the star of Around the Horn.
It's your words, not mine. Your words, not mine.
And does a decent job as the columnist for the LA Times. Bill, thanks for joining us. Great to catch up with you.
Thanks. See you.
That's Bill Plaschke. We'll take a break. Play of the day. We have our best and worst of the weekend coming up. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
We have a new member of the 50-40-90 Club, although maybe you don't give him full credit for 50-40-90. You shoot 50 from the floor, 40 from three-point range, and 90 from the line. Steph Curry, Larry Bird, Kevin Durant, and this player, 50-40-90. Anybody want to take a guess? This player was 8 of 10 from the floor on Sunday, 2 of 3 from three-point range, and 6 for 6 from the free throw line. Any guesses? Some stunned faces there. Yes, McLovin?
I'll go with a little Malcolm Brogdon action.
Malcolm Brogdon? No. But he's been close before, I think. Seton O'Connor. Do you have one?
Well, those numbers seem a little flat to me. Flat Earth.
Oh, boom. Kyrie Irving.
Booyah.
50, 40, 90. I don't know how many games he played in this year compared to Bird, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. But I thought Steve Nash was a 50-40-90. Yeah, Paulie?
I was going to guess Devin Booker. That was the name that popped in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's even close to that.
Kyrie shot 50 from the floor, 40 from three-point range, and 90 from the line. So right there on those numbers, 50, 40, and 90. Can we check? Because I, for some reason, I thought Malcolm Brogdon did do it.
Yeah, he was the last guy to do it. He did it in 19.
Oh. Okay.
I totally screwed that up. I knew he was 50-40-90. I couldn't remember.
Okay. And then did Steve Nash go 50-40-90?
Oh, multiple times.
Okay. Todd?
That's from an article I was looking at. We're calling out to whatever the journalist was.
I was just going to give Todd credit for stat of the day. And this, he didn't send it to everybody. He just sent it to me. He joins Larry Bird, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant as the only players to average at least 25 points per game during the 50-40-90. So I guess that's the separation there. But you got guys who have been 50-40-90, and he somehow averaged 25K. Yes, Paul.
It's from a website called horrendousstats.com.
No, because he's averaging 25, whereas Nash didn't and Brogdon didn't. But he is a member of the 50-40-90. So it's a little confusing there. Yes, Eden.
So it looks like he did it in 54 games.
Yeah.
Which I think the next closest one would be Malcolm Brogdon at 64 games, but he has the least of anybody on that
list.
Okay.
All right. But he averaged...
Wait, what's his stat here? Because... Say it over how many points a game?
25.
Okay, 25. Because, yeah Dirk was like 24.4 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, but Bird, Steph, and Durant average at least 25 in the 50-40-90. Yes, Paul?
Do you guys round up, like if Dirk Nowitzki averaged 24.8, is that 25 points a game?
No.
You don't round up?
No.
Would you say he averaged 24 that year or 24.8? Like, would you go to point?
I probably do 24.8.
Men round up in everything else in life. Just not that.
You're not a roundup guy.
I'm not a roundup guy.
Oh.
I don't even use it on weeds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, that's how much I am not a roundup guy.
Like Kyrie Irving is averaging 26.9 points per game this year. We can't say he's averaging 27 a game.
No, it's 26.9.
Really?
Yes.
Because you know later on in 10 years, you're going to be like, dude, I averaged 27 a game that year. They're like, well, actually, it was 26.9.
Right.
Actually.
I don't think I sound like that. Maybe I did. Maybe I did to Ray Allen.
You know, you're doing that wrong.
Do you know Kevin Garnett didn't acknowledge Ray Allen? That I was a little curious about. right on brand. Is he going to mention Ray? No, he's not. Man, are they going to take that to their graves? They are not going to welcome back Ray Allen. Let's give our best and worst of the weekend. Todd, I'll start with you.
Best of the weekend, after having been eligible for 8 years, great to see one of our favorite guests, Chris Webber, get the nod for the Basketball Hall of Fame and do an interview with his former Fab Five teammate. Jalen Rose over the weekend. Worst, although Popovich, Coach Popovich wasn't there and a number of players were resting or hurt, the Spurs give up 140 points in regulation at home Saturday night to the Suns. They give up 41 in the third and were down at one point by as many as 42. This is a team that's involved in the play-in, and I was expecting a little more from San Antonio.
Well, they took the night off, too. I mean, they figure, well, Pop is, so we will, too. McLovin, best and worst.
So my best, obviously, is Vanessa Bryant's speech was pretty incredible.
Yep.
My worst is how late the games were on Sunday night for the NBA and how little I could not make head nor tail of who was trying to win or lose. I felt like the last day of the season was supposed to be a big, like, seeding battle, and it was very confusing.
Yeah, I don't think Denver and the Clippers wanted to win. The Celtics didn't care about winning. But you did have some teams who did try to win these.
But the Celtics gave the Knicks a little bit of a run out of that game.
I know. Seton O'Connor, best and worst.
I'm going to go two bests.
Two best.
One best is the Keegan-Michael Key on Saturday Night Live this weekend. There's a couple of funny skits there with involving sports, especially the Jordan documentary one. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yep.
Yeah, it was good. It went a little long, and then it went so long that it became funny again, like absurdly long. You're like, wow, this is great. And then my other best of the weekend, I guess it's a best like Hall of Fame career, but Marv Albert announcing his retirement.
Yeah.
That's a dude who, growing up in New Jersey, he was like the sound of basketball for me. You know, just like Phil Rizzuto was the sound of baseball, he was the same thing.
Yep. And Marv is 80 years of age. And he's one of those guys that you wonder what he's going to do without a game. And whenever he's on, he feels younger than that. But just legendary voice. He made hockey sound great on radio. That's how great he was. Yes, Todd.
I did ask him over the weekend if he was sure he wanted to retire. What do you think he said?
Yes!
Yes! There you go. Just wanted to make sure you're playing along.
Thank you, Todd. And our buddy Mike Breen. Getting into the Hall of Fame as a contributor. One of those people who are great people who also are great at what they do. That's Mike Breen. Paulie, best and worst.
FCS football title game, Dan. May football, we love it. Eric Schmidty, the quarterback of Sam Houston State. Touchdown with 16 seconds left for Sam Houston State to beat South Dakota State. And the other best of the weekend, Liverpool needed a late goal against West Brom. They really need one. They bring up their goalkeeper, Alisson. And he heads one in for Liverpool to keep them in the Champions League mix.
He just has one name?
He kind of goes by Allison, A-L-I-S-S-O-N.
Mm.
Okay. Allison Becker.
Yeah.
Huh. But you look like you're about 6'5". And they put him in the box and he got a header. Goal!
Kind of has a Gerard Butler thing going on with more range.
Yeah.
I love the announcers, too, because it's such a way with words, too. Of all the dramatic! You know, stunning! Like...
Yeah.
Clawing their way back from death for one more game.
Death.
Liverpool's title hopes of defending continue. Coming up, Reggie Miller. Recap the Hall of Fame weekend. More phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. We're back after this. Final hour, Dan Patrick Show. One more item, second hour, M Drive. Are you finding it harder to keep up with the younger guys at the gym or at work? Not me. I take M Drive. M Drive is the everyday supplement for guys who want to compete with guys 20 years younger and you want to win. I don't want to compete. I want to win. M Drive gives you energy and strength and stamina. Then you can fight back, maintain your edge, no matter what your age is. Packed with clinically tested ingredients, M Drive helps you burn more fat, stay lean, and boost your drive. Try it. 60-day money-back guarantee. There's free shipping. MDriveDan.com. Try it for yourself. Or you can find MDrive at Rite Aid, Walgreens, and Vitamin Shop. I've been using MDrive for a year now, and I can feel the difference every single day. How do you feel? Are you ready to try MDrive? Go to MDriveDan.com today. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with MDrive. MDriveDan.com. Or you can go to the stores, Rite Aid, Walgreens, Vitamin Shop, and ask for MDrive.com.